There's no defense. Just that.
If I was being prosecuted for a crime like Holocaust denial, I'd think I'd simply tell the prosecutor to shove it and consider the matter finished. Well, I've never seen the inside of a jail, nor have I been prosecuted for thought crimes. As is historian David Irving, who on November 25th was picked up by Austrian police on a 26-year-old arrest warrant for questioning the Jews' Holocaust story. And then days later, the other shoe dropped, a confession. Or perhaps was it a recantation? Or was it, as the Guardian newspaper reported, a repentance? The full details are not known, but I wouldn't put too much credence in jailhouse confessions, despite the cackling by the Jews and their hired hands in the media. We all know that thousands of Americans confess to crimes which they have not committed, the so-called plea bargain process. We are told this is done to streamline an overworked justice system. But surely many innocents must also confess to crimes, if only to escape the clutches of the legal system. All confessions, especially by political prisoners, which David Irving surely is, and which also affect on Jewish concerns, are to be greeted with great skepticism. Indeed, when it comes to the Jews and their concerns, skepticism is the watchword. In the fall and winter of 1932-33, the late Malcolm Muggeridge was touring Russia, reporting for the Manchester Guardian. The reports he sent home to Britain were not being well received. Many were outright censored. You see, he was telling the truth about the famine which the Jew Lazar Kaganovich supervised in the Ukraine. You might say Muggeridge was the 1930s version of a Holocaust denier. Anyway, after his reports exposing the Ukrainian Holocaust, Muggeridge lost his job. In 1934, he wrote a book lampooning uncritical Western journalists entitled Winter in Moscow. In this very year, 71 years later, after the first publication of Winter in Moscow, that book is still being denounced as anti-Semitic. Today, the Jews have considerably less power than they had in Bolshevik Russia. It's been decades since they've been able to send writers and historians to their deaths in the gulags of Kolyma or Pechora. Still, they are hardly toothless, and my guess is they've had their eyes on David Irving for some time. Irving, it must be noted, is not the most vocal and aggressive of World War II revisionists, but his writings are well known, and that is the reason he must be discredited. The Jews first attacked Irving when Deborah Lipstadt published a book suggesting Irving had denied the Holocaust. A libel case ensued. In that case, David Irving defended himself. In contrast, the Jews poured millions of dollars into the legal case against Irving. In the year 2000, Irving was found guilty. After the trial, he remarked, quote, "The leaders of the Jewish communities around the world have used the most horrific methods to try and destroy me. They had bottomless pockets to afford justice and say, go ahead and destroy that bastard, which indeed they did." I suggest readers locate Mark Weber's review of the Lipstadt-Irving trial, entitled Judge Gray's Harsh but Predictable Ruling. Well, however satisfying the legal judgment against Irving was, it is not enough. Confessions have an impact which legal judgments don't, and the Jews learned this long ago in Bolshevik Russia. The well-respected court historian Robert Conquest notes that a public confession has a demoralizing effect on other skeptics and opponents of the regime in power. Defendants which confess forever discredit themselves and often their fellow opponents. In lieu of death camps and outright executions, confessions are the most effective instrument for silencing opposition. Keep an eye out for David Irving, and be sure to read his books. Many are available free online. Decide for yourself whether Irving is a good or bad historian. Don't let the controlled media make the decision for you. Thank you for listening.